You're listening to The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can text us or WhatsApp us 0868 104 106. You can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench if you'd like to get in touch with the show this evening. A lot to cover over the next hour. Before we do that, I'm going to hand you over to Tomás. So, Larry Tomás, how are you, sir?
I'm not too bad.
You did think about that there for a second.
Christian's lost, Spurs lost, Cork Hurlers lost, but other than that, I'm
not a great
pretty good
day for you, really, is it?
No, but look, aside from the sport, I'm fantastic. I wouldn't want to be relying on that for my mood, but all good.
All good. All right, wrap up today's action for us.
In Gaelic Games, the Cork Hurlers won't be involved in the knockout stages of the Alliance Hurling League. The Rebels have lost to Galway this afternoon in Pearse Stadium. 218 to 116, the final score there.
We were watching that under the delay coverage as well. Cork just a little bit off the pace today.
Yeah, look, I think Galway weren't in great shape either. They're kind of struggling for a bit of form as well. So that probably makes it a bit more disappointing. Seems to be when Patrick Horgan doesn't hit his stripes and Seamus Harnady, we really struggle. Worrying signs for Cork, and particularly not being involved now in the quarterfinal stages of the league.
Yeah, because it's such a long, long way to go now until the start of the championship. They could have done with an extra couple of games, just try and find that balance, try and get the lads to gel, just trying to get that consistency, I think, which has been sorely lacking over their league campaign.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I suppose that inconsistency has been there the last few years, so I don't think it'll unduly worry this Cork management or team. They'll have seen this Cork team produce big performances in the Munster Championship and beyond. So it's not going to unduly worry them, but ideally, from a playing point of view and from a management point of view, you want to be more settled as a team. So look, they'll probably go back to their clubs for a few weeks, and no doubt then in 4 or 5 weeks' time they'll start getting together and having challenge games again, but not ideal to be out of the league at this stage.
Tim O'Malley got a crack goal though for Cork, didn't he?
Yeah, brilliant goal. He's one guy I'd like to probably see further up the field. I know he kind of played centre back and in midfield at stages, and he played really well there, but I just think probably a bit different than players we have in terms of physicality. He can win his own ball and he can score as well, so maybe he could be an option, and maybe full forward or something. So
the way he ran at that Galway defence as well, they didn't know how to deal with him, and he finished it really, really well.
He absolutely did. So look, it'll be interesting to see where he's positioned come championship time. Look, Cork ended that game with 14 players after Robbie Flynn was shown a red card too. It was kind of just a clumsy challenge.
There was no malice in it, really, was there?
No, certainly not.
But it's still a red card.
It was a correct decision, but just awkward. That kind of made things difficult for the last 15, 20 minutes when they were kind of chasing the game. So look, a lot of thinking for the Cork management to do over the next few weeks.
Yeah, we'll hear from Kieran Kingston just in a little bit.
Also in Group A, holders Limerick saw Westmead 124 to 18 points to 6 at LIT Gaelic Grounds. Tipperary beat Waterford 24 points to 216 in Thurles. And in Division 1B of the Hurling League, Clare have beaten Dublin 27 points to 115 in Cusack Park. Meanwhile, Eddie Brennan's Laois have been beaten by Kilkenny and his old manager Brent Cody 322 to 119, while Wexford have beaten Carlow 229 to 111. Cork footballers have made it 5 wins from 5. They had survived a late fight back from Derry to win 3-13 to 3-11 in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. It means the Rebels are on the brink of promotion and are the only side with a 100% record remaining in the Football League.
Yeah, we'll hit it from Ronan McCarthy in just a little bit, but everyone predicted or targeted, I suppose, promotion for Cork around the cusp now, but 5 wins from 5. They're fantastic, basically. I think Ronan McCarthy is very, very happy with their performances. A good battle with Derry today, who kind of pushed them all the way as well, and the late goal for Derry kind of made it a nervy ending for Cork. But look, 10 points from 5 games, I don't think you could have asked for any better than that, really.
No, absolutely. And look, there's good sound bites coming out of the camp, good morale. Keane O'Neill has added his bit as well, and certainly they've played experimented quite a bit as well, so a lot of players have had an opportunity, and that's all you can ask from the management. So it'll be exciting to see how the Munster Championship goes as well after the league stages. Mayo look to be on their way to relegation from Division 1. They were beaten by a point by Kerry at McHale Park in Castlebar, where it finished 114 to 113. Elsewhere in Division 1, it finished Louth 112, Leitrim 314, Offaly 9 points, Down 17, Longford 312, Tipperary 37. Elsewhere, Donegal beat Monaghan 2-12 to 8 points in Ballyshannon. Caelan Ward and Hugh McFadden both bound the back of the net for the hosts. In Navan then, Galway beat Meath 114 to 112 at Park Talton to confirm the Royals' relegation. Ronan Steed scored a goal for the tribesmen. Kildare beat Laois 15 points to 10 earlier on in Division 2 tie at O'Muir Park. and there was defeat for Christian Brothers College in the Hearty Cup final this afternoon. The Cork school have lost out to St Flannan's of Ennis, 115 to 112 of the final score there in Mallow. And then the English Football League Cup final, it's currently Man City 2, Aston Villa 1. And in the Premier League, Wolves have lost 3-2 away to Tottenham. Mike Lawrence was there.
Tottenham Hotspur 2, Wolverhampton Wanderers 3. A thoroughly entertaining game which swung one way and then the other, but the Wolves machine never stops running. They twice came back with goals from Matt Doherty and Diego Jota to cancel out Tottenham's efforts from Stephen Bergwijn and Serge Aurier. Wolves led for the first time on 73 minutes with a stunning goal from Raúl Jiménez, with the Spurs defence cut wide open. The battle for the European spots going the way of the visitors today. Tottenham 2, Wolves 3.
Jose Mourinho certainly looking very annoyed, cranky, dispirited on the sideline. Brought on try power for what, 14 seconds?
Yeah, it was crazy, really. I think he's
chasing the game.
Just to reaffirm his stance on Parrott and the squad in general, which
that was a real flex for Mourinho, wasn't it? Like, I don't trust him unless like the last 30 seconds of the game.
Exactly. Look, I think it's childish.
That's a Mourinho out note, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it wasn't him when he, you know, initially with Porto and his early days in Chelsea. I think he was a fantastic manager, and he was obviously full of soundbites too then, but he was really kind of upbeat and trusted his players and built a good morale with his squads. Mm. And that's kind of, especially that Porto team got it over the line, and even though Chelsea spent a lot of money under Abramovich, you know, they had a genuine team spirit as well. So that seems to have deserted him in more recent times. You know, his time in United, his second phase with Chelsea, and now with Spurs as well, he's kind of reverted to that sour, complaining, you know, constantly making excuses. And that peters back into the squad and doesn't augur well for Spurs at the moment.
Doesn't.
Elsewhere, it finished all square between Everton and Man United. Paul Anthony was there.
An entertaining game of football that saw the points shared. Everton opened the scoring courtesy of a David De Gea howler that saw his kick charged down by Calvert-Lewin into an empty net. Just before the break, Fernandez equalised with a long-range effort that nestled in the bottom corner. In the second half, both teams had chances. Fernandez and Gylfi Sigurdsson both going close. And in the closing stages, Everton piling on the pressure. It almost paid off when Calvert-Lewin put the ball in the back of the net, only to be ruled out by VAR. It's finished. Everton 1, Manchester United 1.
That was some howler from David De Gea, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, like, to be fair, he's a class goalie, but
still,
no excuse there. Should have put it into Rod's head. Worst case, I think probably teams since I suppose that Barcelona team brought in the all encompassing playing out from the back, a goalie that just, you know, baiting into Rod's head seems to get criticised a hell of a lot, and you know they get, you know, fair enough. Keepers are generally trying to start the attacks, and you know, all back four players are generally encouraged to play a bit more football than previous, but yeah, that's an awful mistake for a goalkeeper of his class to give away.
Yeah, it certainly was. All right, 82 minutes on the clock at Wembley. It's still Man City 2, Aston Villa 1. Man City pressing for the third, and they're getting very close to it as well, putting a lot of pressure on that Aston Villa defence, but it's still 2-1 with 8 minutes left to go of normal time.
In Scotland, Hull Celtic are into the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup. They had a 1-0 win away to St Johnstone. And finally, English golfer Tommy Fleetwood tops the leaderboard in the final day of the Honda Golf Classic. In Florida, where the action has gotten underway, Fleetwood has a one-stroke advantage over his nearest rival, American Brendan Steele, as he goes in search of his first ever PGA Tour event win. Open champion Shane Lowry has just gotten his final underway from one over in a tie for 24th.
All right, cheers to that, Tomas. We are going to start the show with Cork's defeat to Galway today in the Allianz Hurling League up in Pearse Stadium. Going to hear the views of Kieran Kingston speaking to the Assembly media afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. This was a championship game in all but name, and you know, we needed to win to get into a quarterfinal, and that's what we came here for. So yeah, disappointed we didn't get a result.
Yeah, you must have been happy enough at half time, just 3 points down with the win to come.
Yeah, we were, there's an awful lot of mistakes on both sides, and wides and fumbling of the ball. I suppose that's the pitch on the day lent itself to that. But yeah, we would have been happy at half time, and we're very happy then. We went to point up into the second half, so disappointed not to close it out.
Yeah, and straight red card for Robbie O'Flynn. What did you make of that?
Obviously didn't see it back yet, but I mean, we couldn't have any complaints from what I saw at the moment. We wouldn't have any complaints.
Yeah, but having gone ahead that time with the goal from Tim O'Mahony, you know, with the breeze behind you, it was Galway that responded the better, wasn't it?
Yeah, when you go down to 14 minutes, it's challenging. The wind will never win you the game or lose you the game. I thought closing it out, they just closed out that bit better, and we struggled in the last 10 minutes. We just seemed to run out of legs totally. Like, you know, there was only a point still coming down the stretch, and there was only a point in it coming at full time, and we ended up losing by 5. So yeah, look, disappointing. Yeah.
And of course, your interest in this year's league is over now. What have you learned from this campaign?
Well, I mean, like, look, we were coming up, our interest in the league would either go on today or would be finished. And I suppose we obviously wanted to win. You want to win every game, and you want to be as competitive as you can in the league. But I think we learned a lot about ourselves. We've had a lot of guys in different positions. Huge change since last year's championship. We were a lot of guys in different positions, as I say, and new personnel in different locations, and new personnel to the team. And I think that's been pleasing for us. I suppose, look, outside of not going on another game or two, in another week or two, wouldn't be any harm. Obviously, getting a couple of games out of it, I think the league has been good for us in terms of what we've learned about ourselves more than anything else.
It does mean, okay, now that it's about 8 or 9 weeks before another competitive match, which is not ideal.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but I mean, it's the same for many other counties. And even if you got to win, it would be, you get another game next weekend, the weekend after. So the league has run off so quickly now. I mean, you would either have 10 weeks or 8 weeks of a run in, whether or which, you know.
And the injury, was Aidan Walsh injured, and was he up there in Alan Caddy?
Concussed. Aidan is concussed, and Alan is. Which I say, if we were playing in Wednesday, he'd be okay.
Robbie is here. He's suspended now for the first match of the Munster Championship, I believe, after that red card. That'll be the goal.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Is it the first game of the next year's league, or is it the Championship? I'm not sure what the rule is. It's obviously gone for a game anyway. But I don't know if it's the next competitive game or is it the next league game, so I'm not sure of that.
Kieran, I suppose at halftime you must have been relatively happy how economical the lads were. You know, he had no wides. He didn't have a wide till the 42nd or 3rd minute.
Yeah, we were absolutely, because it was a very stiff breeze in the first half. It wasn't stiff in the second half.
Yeah,
that happened. So we were, like, we had 10 shots, we had 10 points, only 3 points in at half time, and we kind of felt we contained them into the wind, that we could push on, and we thought we did push on. And then going to point up, like, we'd all the momentum, and the lose man obviously disappointing. But like, at the same time, you can't. And that's not the beyond in all either, you know. You still have to try and go and close out the game, even if you do go man down. And I felt, look, particularly in the last 4 or 5 minutes, we just, I think there's only a point in it. There was a point in it nearly on the 69th minute, and then we'd up losing by 5, you know. So that's disappointing.
Look, I suppose it's a stupid question, really, but what's your take? Happy or not so happy with the league in total, you know?
Well, look. I suppose there's two sides to it. Firstly, we would like another couple of games, of course. We'd like to go on another, get another quarterfinal, semi-final, absolutely, or go all the way if you could. But I mean, from our point of view, I think I'm happy with the league, and that we've learned an awful lot about players and about positions, and starting to get some shape into our team, which is the main thing for us as a new management team, to get a bit of shape into our team and options that we have in various locations and various parts of the pitch. And I think we've learned a lot from that, and that's the main thing for us, you know.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
Just say, or just say, the Munster Championship, you have the four teams, there are three of the four teams you played in the league, you're going to be playing again in the Championship, you know. You've also played some teams in the Munster Hurling League as well, so you're really going to get familiar with these teams.
Yeah, you will. I mean, look, that Munster teams, by the nature of the league format and the Munster League format, you're playing each other a lot. So I think everybody knows a lot about each other, and that's good too, you know.
Yes, Kieran Kingston there speaking after today's defeat to Galway. He's certainly taking the positives out of their 5 games in the league, isn't he?
Yeah, it was interesting to hear him speak there. He was asked a pretty direct question as to what they've learnt and kind of avoided it in classic manager style. He said, look, they've picked up positives about playing different players in different positions and the new personnel to the squad, which is fair enough, but...
That's just hit the post.
It's on there for them to nick a goal here, isn't it?
Just hit the post from a corner there, so it's still City leading 2-1.
We're back to Cork, yeah. I think what we really learnt is that maybe when... Alan Cadigan is missing, we struggle up front.
Yeah.
He takes, to be fair, he's a class hurler when he's going. Obviously, he has his injury issues, but he takes a bit of pressure off the likes of Lee Howell is struggling for form, but particularly Harnady and Horgan. I think we're still over reliant on those up front. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we've learned. Like, we didn't already know that. We haven't really solved that problem in the league. To be fair to Kingston up front, he's probably been our best forward throughout the league. Didn't play well today, but you know, he had a great Fitzgibbon Cup and thus far a great league with Cork. And we still haven't yet undecided about who our linchpin is at centre back. Yeah. So that's a pretty big thing. You know, back in the day, you had Ronan Kerr, and previous to him, you bring Cork in, and you built a team around that. So I think there are big issues. We probably need to solve that and decide on who our centre back is, and you know, build a backline around that. So look, still a lot of food for thought for this Cork management, but unfortunately we don't have games now to sort it out before the Munster Championship. So, yeah, look, they seem a bit indifferent. He says he's happy enough, but look, going out of the league at this stage, you can't really be happy with that.
No, right. Conor McKenna was watching the game for us up in Pearce Stadium today, and I spoke to him just before we came on air. All right, defeat for Cork today. That ends their interest in this year's Allianz Hurling League. Delighted to be joined on the line by Conor McKenna, who watched the game for us. High scoring stuff in Pearce Stadium today, but Galway just that little bit better than Cork, I'd imagine, today, Conor.
Yeah, Galway were just about the better team, Rory. Cork were winning attention. They'd actually gone ahead midway through the second half, but Robbie O'Flynn was shown a straight red card for a high tackle, and that really cost them Rory, because Galway took complete control after that. They went down and got a goal, and Cork just, they never really could get back in touch. A few late Galway points then saw them over the line. But the first half was a poor enough game, though. Cork were 3 points down at half time, 10 points behind, and they looked to have weathered the storm, Rory, because Galway had played with a strong enough wind in the second half, but then there looked to be only 1 minute then that Cork were going to pull away, because they went a point ahead, but then the red card came and that changed the game, and Galway took their opportunity and it saw them over the line for a 5 point win.
Robbie O'Flynn sending off, was it fair enough or was it harsh?
It was probably fair enough. I think even the manager, I think, had the incident with Kieran as well, but I think he kind of had to say the same. But Robbie is not a dirty player by any means, and I think though, Roy, that red card could have significant consequences though, because I think he could be out of the next championship match, which would be in the first match of the Munster Championship. And now if he's suspended for the first match of the Munster Championship, that's a big blow for Cork, because if Cork had won that game or into a quarter final, then Rory O'Flynn could have served, or Robbie O'Flynn even could have served his suspension in the quarter final. But because they're not, they're out of the league. I think it's the next competitive match, so it'd either be the first match in next year's league or the next championship match. Now I think Richie Hogan served a ban in the first match of this year's league, so that's up in the air at the moment. Kieran Kingston didn't know when I asked him after the game, but Robbie O'Flynn is definitely not a dirty player, but it probably was a justified red card then, Roy, from what I saw.
Cork, over this league campaign, they've struggled for consistency. It's probably a shame they aren't involved in the knockout stages, because they could do with a couple of games before the championship starts. They have a 10-week layoff now before championship.
Yeah, and Rory, some people say the league doesn't matter, but I think that the statement is definitely not based on facts, because teams that have done well in the league have traditionally done well in the championship over the last year. I think that, like, even Limerick last year, they won the league and they went down and won a Munster championship and were looking at getting the Ireland final, and the year before that Limerick had done very well in the league. So the league is certainly an accurate gauge of where the team is going. Like, and at the moment, like, that's disappointing today, because like they should have been a bit, they had a chance to win it. And over the five games, like, if you go through them individually, the Waterford game, the first thing, they got two goals in the first minute, they probably should have won. And then, like, the game against Tip, they did win. It was a very good win. The Westmeath game, I saw them, we were very, very poor that day. Like, Westmeath probably missed a chance to cause a big upset. And then they lost to the game to Limerick, played well, but lost, and lost again today. So, to be honest, like, the Westmeath game, they're probably always going to win, Rory. So the Cork match, or the Tipperary match, was probably the only real significant victory they've had out of four games. But it's definitely not been a good league campaign for Cork, Rory, in my opinion.
It certainly hasn't. Patrick Horgan with 9 points today for Cork, 9 of those are coming from frees. Is there danger in your eyes that maybe Cork are a bit over-reliant on him?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that, Rory. They're very reliant on Horgan. Like, he's such a good hurler, and he's a very, very accurate. His safe ball taking is eccentric. He's one of the best hurlers in Ireland, if not the best. But I think the only thing in Cork is that any side would be relying on a player like that, Patrick Horgan. And we have to finish his career without getting over the line for an early medal. But, like, Cork have some very good hurlers, but added to Horgan, I'd say, most definitely, or yeah.
All right, we'll leave it there. So thanks very much indeed for that, Conor. Thanks for covering the game for us today.
No bother, not really. Thanks very much.
Yeah, that's Conor McKenna there speaking to me after Cork's defeat to Galway. It's nearly time up in Wembley. It's 2.5 minutes gone of the 5 to be added on at the end of the 90. And Man City still leading Aston Villa by 2-1. Going to turn our attention now to the football today in Cork, beating Derry in Páirc Uí Chaoimh today. 3-13 to 3-11 was how that finished. 5 wins and 5 now from the Rebels. Promotion almost assured at this point. Going to hear from Cork boss Ronan McCarthy speaking to the Assemble Media.
I thought it'd be great football for, I don't know, 26-27 in the second half. Really, really good, you know, performance against a side that are difficult to play against. And I suppose the end of the game has put a little bit of a, you know, a dampener on what was, you know, a real quality display, particularly in the second half. You know, we were cruising and, again, have left the opposition back into it at the end.
I was very poorly sighted for a lot of the goals, but they look to be perfect from my vantage point. When you're at pitch level, they can be hard to see. So that's the only negative, really, from what was a really positive second half performance. The first half was always going to be difficult. You know, when Derry were playing against the wind, they were obviously going to pack the defence, which they did, and so I think we scored 1-5. We probably could have had 1-7 or 1-8. That would be my only crib, maybe at half time. We should have maybe had a few more points, but other than that, I think we managed as well as we could, really, in a difficult scenario. You know, it's really difficult. Like, every outfield player was inside their own 45 at one stage, and as I say, the important thing half time was to be ahead, which we were, and then as I said, played great stuff in the second half, and just a pity that we didn't see it out.
That's 10 points now. Is that enough, or do you still need?
I think some of the games are still on, but are not quite finished. But I think 10 points will get us there. I know I didn't for Down last year, but I'm confident it will.
So 1 point really from the next two.
To be sure.
Great position being, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Look, and it might be Division 3, but it's not easy to, it's not easy to win all your games, and we've had different challenges in all of them, at different times. Offaly obviously caused us big trouble here in the first game. Tip obviously had to really cut off us last week, and actually against two Northern teams, we were probably very, very controlled and very comfortable in both games against them, which is good because they're difficult to play against, but just didn't finish the game so well. So, it's good to be there, and let's see it home, and let's drive it on.
Tell me the injury front. Rory Dean picked up a knock on Thursday.
Yeah, and one of the things I would say about this group of players, to be fair to them, they're absolutely outstanding from the point of view of, we lost Rory on Thursday, we lost Luke.
Anti serious?
A couple of weeks, I don't think it's that major. We lost Luke, obviously, 20 minutes into the game. We lost Liam Donovan come to half time. And they're brilliant from the point of view, as you just go to the next guy, put him in, and we don't ever, it was funny, I was watching Powter there in the second half, and he was absolutely, brilliant, and he's been such a loss to Cork over the last couple of years, and Brian Hurley and the likes of, can you imagine, if we'd had them, and we've never moaned, and they've never moaned about the players that we haven't had. I see Tyrone there, and obviously Colin McShane's picked up serious injury, Matty Donnelly. And people going on about the loss they've been to them. There's a couple of players for us, for example, that have been massive misses for us. And
that's Ron McCarthy there speaking after today's win over Derry, and I suppose the injury problems they've had over the league campaign. All over in Wembley, and Man City have beaten Aston Villa by 2-1. We were only kind of had a half an eye on it, Moz, but it looked like an entertaining game.
Yeah, to be fair, City really dominated proceedings for most of the game, particularly the first half. Probably should have been 3 or 4 nil up. Villa nicked the goal with kind of in the 40th minute just before half time to bring him back into the game, and City dominated second half again until that kind of 88th minute where Villa went upfield and hit the post, and they had one or two chances, to be fair, the last minute or two, but look, yeah. City kind of outclassed them, to be fair.
That was good crack. Alright, I'm going to talk ladies football now, and Cork beating Mayo today up in Mallow. Ger McCarthy was there for us, and he spoke to Cork's Melissa Duggan.
Melissa Duggan, great win for Cork, unbeaten, up top of the table, and considering all the changes that were made today, that's a great win for you.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be hard today facing Mayo. They were coming down. They didn't want to lose down here to us. They bring such a physical aspect to the game, and I suppose it took a lot to get used to in the first half. We were getting bullied around the pitch, but we came out stronger and ready to take the game to them. So we knew it was going to be a dogfight, and it was a dogfight today.
It's about as good a game for this type of physical game that you can get at this time of the year, though, especially with the Championship coming around the corner. They were very tough, but you stood up to them, as you said.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose we've been nearly 4 weeks now without a game, so to get a game again under our belt and to get a win, it will stand to us for the next few games and for the Championship. They do bring a big physical aspect to the game, and it is a good test, especially for the younger ones, to get experience of that physical aspect of the game.
You're an experienced player now on the panel. And as you said, a lot of new faces in and out today, but that's a great sign because the panel are getting the experience playing a tough opposition, which will stand to them if they're called upon later on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's good about the league. You know, there's a whole load of games in there. We have to play everybody. So it is a great chance to bring on new people that maybe mightn't get the chance in the championship and to see how they can excel on the field. I think we made 5 changes to the starting panel today, including our goalkeeper, Lisa, who was very good. And we brought on a good few players like Abby, who's just come up from minor, and Katie Quirk, who's just come up from minor. So, you know, this game will send to them, and you know, you can see on the field, they fit in very well with us. So yeah, it's great to see.
Please, with your own form, you're playing consistent level of the games I've seen you so far this year, injury free, which is also important.
Yeah, it's also important. Yeah, the league has started well, in fairness to us. Yeah, you know, it's not easy playing on these pitches. You know, the soft ground makes it very hard to run the field and stuff like that, and there could be a few dodgy sand passes and solos, but you know, it's a good start to the league, but it's a very long year ahead, so hopefully we can just keep going and keep getting better and improving.
Just finally, lovely nice short trip up to Donegal next time out, looking forward to that.
We haven't been to Donegal now since 2 years ago, so you know, we're going to come up there again, which it's a good chance to get, I suppose, a bit of team bonding done as well. We're going to stay up Saturday night and, you know, make the weekend out of it. So it's, even though it's a long trek up, you know, we'll make the most of it, and hopefully we'll come back with a win. We don't want to come back with anything else.
Yeah, it's Cork's Mr. Duggan there speaking after the win over Mayo today. Speaking to Ger McCarthy, Ger has launched a podcast with us. The Ladies Football Podcast will be available, the first episode of which will be available later on in the week. Subscribe to the Big Red Bench Podcast if you haven't done so, because we'll be publishing it through there. We're going to have that out on Thursday afternoon. So very, very exciting stuff. So the Ladies Football Podcast on Cork's Red FM is going to be launched later on in the week. Just going to hear brief from our Cork boss, Aoife Fitzgerald.
Aoife Fitzgerald, a tough, hard-earned victory, and good to see so many of your panel being used today. You must be delighted with how the changes worked out for you, and you got that victory in the end.
Yeah, it was a tough game. I think it was, you know, physically it was probably the toughest game we've had. May really put it up to us. You know, they came down with a purpose, and I think there were 2 points up at half time. No, there was a very, very strong win, so and that was definitely a factor. But you know, I thought we were a bit sloppy in the first half. Our hand passing was a bit off, and you know, we kicked 5 or 6 wides. But the second half, I think we picked it up. The girls knew that, you know, it was an important game for us, because if we had lost today, I think Mayo and a head to head would have been ahead of us, and that would have meant, you know, they could have qualified instead of us. So it puts us in a good position now in the league. But the most pleasing aspect of this was, as you mentioned earlier, there is the being able to use our panel members. I thought Abby O'Mahony came on there, did very, very well. You know, we were able to bring Laura Cleary on, and McCleary came on for a first start, I would say, in a senior. So all in all, it's nice to be, I mean, the purpose of the league really is to you know, try and improve our panel while at the same time being competitive. So we've been that now, and you know, puts us in a strong position going forward.
Are you happy with the consistency of the performances so far, or are you just kind of working towards the championship and using the league to get to that point?
Well, you know, there's only 2 national competitions, so we want to be competitive in both. I suppose the one thing we were, you know, that we were letting ourselves on was we were going 20 minutes maybe in games where we didn't score, so we were conscious of that today, that we wanted to keep the scoreline ticking over, and I think we did that. To be honest, you know, we got some good points, but able to, you know, Saif came on there in the second half, and Saoirse Noonan, they gave it a real freshness again. So that's very, very pleasing for us, you know, and that's what we're looking for. You know, I think over the last couple of years we were slightly short in numbers, and that's certainly improving now, and there's a great buzz in the camp, you know, the girls, and we have Kira Sullivan will be back training this week, you know, Dirren is working her way back, so there'll be Emer Skelly has been injured for a while, you know, so we have a lot of girls who are, you know, on their way back. Niamh Cotter, you know, Hannah Looney wasn't here today, so that org, you know, Mayo were short quite a lot of their what you call their first team players as well, but you know, it augurs well for us in terms of competition for places, because the training, girls have been buzzing in training, and you know, we like to think that if girls are playing well, we give them an opportunity, and you know, they're certainly taking it.
The fact that you've had 4 very different challenges, Westmeath, all defensive, tough pitch in Ard Finn, and then the kind of open game against Dublin, great experience for those players, and for you as well to see them in all different kinds of scenarios.
It is, yeah. And again, I thought today Marie Ambrose, I thought, was absolutely immense today. You know, Marie has had an awful 2 years really with injury. She's been misfortunate, but I think she's absolutely, she's a great leader, very quiet girl, but you know, leads with example, by example, and I thought today she was exemplary, like Melissa Duggan as well, you know, we've, there's great character there, and you know, they, I suppose they turn up the training and it's the same attitude, you know, whether it's a five-a-side game or whether it's a, you know, whether we're playing the National League or we're playing Championship, and that kind of rubs off on the other girls as well. All of them the same, you know, the amount of work rate they get through is phenomenal. So all in all, very, very pleased now to be going home at you know, at half time. We were cross with ourselves in terms of you know, I thought our attitude could have been a little bit better, but like, that was addressed in the second half and we're delighted with the victory.
Just finally, looking ahead to that trip up to Donegal, more of the same, are you going to mix it up, or do you have in mind what you want to do?
Yeah, we'll mix it up, like we'll hope to have a few girls back again, and you know, we'll probably try and mix it up a little bit again, and give, like, we have three games left now, and I think if we win one of them we're in the final, so that gives us opportunities again to experiment. So, but again, for the girls that played well today, we'd like to think that, you know, we'll give them that opportunity to go again. You know, nobody likes to not be playing, but it's a nice choice for us to have, but it's difficult at times because of the competition.
It's Cork Ladies Football boss Aoife Fitzgerald there speaking to Ger McCarthy. Don't forget to check out the Ladies Football podcast launching this week on the Big Red Bench podcast. Subscribe to it there on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify, and it'll be out on Thursday. Alright, it's going to take a break. Actually, before we do, full time report from Wembley, George Alderman.
Full-time here at Wembley, where for the third year in a row, Manchester City are the League Cup winners. They've beaten Aston Villa 2-1, but they were really made to hang on at the end. Sustained Villa pressure as they were trying to get an equaliser to take it into extra time. Claudio Bravo pulled off a fantastic save, pushing a header onto the post to deny Villa that equaliser. They were given hope just before half-time when John Stone's slip led to a goal for Samassa. That was after Aguero and Rodri had put City ahead, and those goals proved enough to mean that City are the League Cup winners once again. They've beaten Villa 2-1.
Alright, still to come on the show, we're going to talk darts with John O'Shea and Motorsport with Luke Allen.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Alrighty, we are going to talk darts now. Our old pal John O'Shea calling to studio today, bringing the BDO Masters Trophy with him as well. You missed it, Tomás, you weren't here, but I just showed you a photograph of it. Weighs 27 kilos. I nearly fell to the floor when he handed it to me.
27 kilos. I'd have that for breakfast.
No. Oh, look at me. I play professional rugby. I can handle 27 kilos quite easily.
No, you haven't seen me in the gym. I'm not that impressive. I wish. No, look, the trophy looks awesome, to be fair.
Yeah.
You know, it's always cool to have a trophy that has actually got pick up a lot of trophies and they're just flimsy and yeah. You know what I mean, and look, I pity you can't drink a pint out of it, but I'm sure he probably managed.
Go, yeah. Well, John is starting a very exciting project to promote the game to young darts players across Cork, and he called in to discuss that, his plans for the year and more as well.
Alright, delighted to be joined in studio by our good buddy John O'Shea. John, how are you, boy?
Not too bad, no Rory, not too bad, boy.
Great to have you in here as always. Tell us, you were asking us before Christmas, it's been a hectic time. How was life as I suppose a dart celebrity been treating you?
Yeah, it's been good. We've been away a few times now. This season, I suppose, started straight after the World Championships when we went to tour school, trying to get the tour car. Mm. The golden ticket, as one would say.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we fell a point or two short of the PDC tour car. But we got the challenge tour. Plus, I have the BDO as well now, and the WDF that's after coming on board as well. Like, so there's a lot of avenues now that we're playing darts. So we're away all the time. But yeah, it's been good. I'm up to joint sixth in the world in the BDO, mm-hmm. and I'm in the top 16 in the WDF rankings.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah, so it's all going good so far.
So you're kind of on the go, you're almost at a tournament every weekend at this point, are you?
Yeah, every weekend now, practically. Like, there's something somewhere, depending on what's on offer as regards to points wise, because uh-huh. the game really is all points to qualify for the major events at the end of the year. So we're hoping after winning the World Masters that we'll get that Grand Slam spot uh-huh. at the latter end of the year. I qualified, the points that I have at the moment nearly secures me for the World Championships yeah. again at the O2, and of course the iconic World Masters. Yeah. I get to defend that, so all good.
You brought the trophy in, which is today. It's an absolute beauty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the most iconic trophy in world arts, really. I think it was played for 46 years, 2 years. 2 years previous, or two years longer than I think when they started playing for the World Championships. I could be corrected on that now, but I'm nearly certain that's the World Masters is the trophy that it was the one to win back then. Like, you know.
And are you still kind of like getting requests for like, you know, exhibitions to bring the trophy along every day?
I got a few exhibitions coming up, up the country. I've won or two. I've won in Offaly, one in Cavan. I've won in Belfast and one in County Town with Jim Williams. In the latter end of the year, you know, so the summer months really, like when there's nothing really on, you know, so I'm looking forward to them. They should be a good crack, you know.
You must enjoy looking at the at people's faces when you hand them the trophy and you realise the weight of it.
You got it there a while ago now when you just went to pick it up, like, you know, and realised that the weight of it, like, it's 27 kilos. It's solid sterling silver, like, every piece of it is hallmarked. You know, and it's just so iconic, like, it's irreplaceable. It's an irreplaceable trophy. Like, I know they've changed the PDC trophy, they've changed the World Championship trophy, they've changed, but this is the one trophy that never changes. It's there from the word go, and it'll probably be still going in another 30, 40 years, you know.
It'll break your heart to give it back, I'd say, later in the year.
Yeah, do you know, when you're practicing at home and it's there in front of you, And every now and again it just brings it back, the reality of it, that week in the Circus Tavern, you know, where Phil Taylor had picked up majority of his 16 world titles, and for me to win a world title on that stage, you know, was just it's just overwhelming. Even a few months in, it's overwhelming, but you know, it's kicked these two boys on for the practice, like, you know.
Yeah, your two sons are here with you today. And I suppose that's the main focus, I suppose, on the interview, in a way, is that the Junior Darts Championship.
The Junior Darts Corporation.
It's you're launching that in Cork very, very, very soon.
Yeah, it's just something that I had looked at a few months back, you know, and I saw what Cian Barry and Katie Sheldon had done in Dublin out of the JDC, and, you know, we have certainly untapped talent in Cork, and I've seen it myself at tournaments around the city. And, of course, Jake Hare and Kenneth, they both play as well. So, I mean, it's something that I can give back, the knowledge of the game. Like, apart from winning the World Masters, like, the knowledge of the game that I have for playing over 30 years and what I've learned down through the years, if I could pass that on to someone, you know, if it's not these two boys, if it's somebody else, you know, I mean, they play East Cork Darts, and we were at a Wayne Mardell exhibition Friday night in Harty's Bar and Cline, and it was just the amount of young lads that were there, you know. Potentially there could be another Michael Van Gerwen in amongst all those kids, given the chance and the direction, put them in the right direction, you know.
I suppose, like, it's the same as any other sport. I mean, like, if you're not having good young players coming through, the sport's not going to survive and thrive in the city and county.
Well, this is it. Like, I mean, you have it, like you have it in all different sports, soccer. If you don't have a youth system, then eventually what will happen is that it'll fade away into. So we need to be constantly looking for the next best thing out of Ireland. And I'll be honest with you, with the talent we have in the whole of Ireland, north and south, it is phenomenal. Like, you know, they need to be put on the right track. They need to be nurtured and looked after. And you never know. We could have another world champion in this sport out of Ireland sooner rather than later, because we have a lot of talent, not only in Ireland, but in Cork, it's huge. Like,
And nurturing that talent, I suppose, is that something that hasn't really happened before? Is kind of people just left to their own devices, kind of thing?
Well, there's a lot of things go on in Cork as regards to darts. Like, you have a lot of things, different ventures people take, you know what I mean? Like, but this JDC thing, this venture now that we're taking on, Steve Brown started this. Steve is a pro tour card holder as well in the UK, and he started, this is his baby, like, he started this, and this now is all over the world. I was talking to him recently, and he was heading to Japan to open up an academy. So basically it's a formula that the kids work off of, so they're not randomly throwing on a dartboard, tiring themselves out. So it's a set system that they're going to be doing, you know, Shanghai from 10 to 15. They get a certain amount of points for each score they get. And then it's like, I suppose, Taekwondo, we have white shirts that they start off with, and they finish up with black shirts, which is like the belts of Taekwondo or karate. So it shows you the level of each person as they progress. And it's proved to be working, because There was three lads there in Belgium now at the weekend playing on the PDC circuit in the European Tour. That came from the JDC Tour.
Mm. Fantastic.
So it's a proven success. So who knows that, you know, any child out there in Cork now aged between 7 and 17, you know, might never have thrown a dart before in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Could come up and have an automatic natural ability to throw darts. You don't know until you try. You know, so it is a good thing for Cork, mm-hmm. the JDC, like, you know.
And it's happening in the Harp Bar, which I suppose is Grand and Central, City Centre Bar as well.
Yeah, Thomas, my brother-in-law, and Connor, they have the Harp Bar, and he's allowed us to use the lounge. They have 8 dartboards inside there. The Harp Bar sponsor me anyway.
Yeah.
So it was a good thing that the Harp were coming on board to help out as well, like, you know what I mean? Like, because getting a venue with 8 dartboards,
mm-hmm.
like I said, like, we're going to open it up on the Tuesday night on the 14th. I know off the top of my head, I have at least 10 to 15 kids that will be there on the night. But I have no idea. Until the 14th, and walk in that door, you know.
Exactly, yeah. The Harp Bar gave me my first job, actually, when I was 16, many, many years ago. So I have very fond memories of the Harp, to be honest. But if anyone wants to get in touch with John, if anyone wants to turn up, do they just turn up in the day, or do they have to book in advance? How does it work?
Well, you see, the thing is, they can show up on the night, but we set up a WhatsApp page, Joker's Darts Academy.
Mm-hmm.
So they can either find me on that, or they can find me on Facebook. Well established on Facebook now, you'll find me no problem holding some trophy or the lads or something like that, but I'm easily found, like, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So if anybody wants to get in contact, if anyone just wants to come up for a look to see how it's going, if it's for them, then mm-hmm. let it happen. If it's not, look, the worst thing that can happen is they're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's good for their skills in school, their math skills. It's going to be good for their, you know, adding, subtracting, multiplication, all this mm-hmm. stuff, like, around the dartboard, you know. And they get to make friends.
Yeah.
Plus, we might get to take one of them to Gibraltar for the World Championships if they're good enough. That's the end game. They have their own tour. They have their own World Championships that leads on to bigger and better things.
Fantastic. April 14th happening in the Harp Bar. Check out John online as well. And what's the next views? What's your next tournament? So?
I'm off now to the Isle of Man in March, mm-hmm. you know, signed a contract with the Big Five in the UK.
Yeah.
So, thankfully, after 30 years,
30 years
I eventually got my contract.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just shows you never give up. You know, so, I mean, like, Paul and Steve and the lads at the Big Five gave me the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And all I do now, Rory, is just show up and play darts. So I don't have to worry about flights, accommodation, entry fees. All done. All done for me. So it's only going to get better for me.
It's taken you 30 years to become an overnight success.
30 years to become an overnight success. Only in Cork.
John, a pleasure, buddy. Thanks for coming in.
No bother, Rory. Thanks a million.
All right. John, we have your kids here as well, so I suppose you might as well ask them, I suppose, why they're getting involved. Do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Jake. I'm obviously his son, so...
So why are you looking forward to this happening in April?
I'm looking forward to it because it's going to teach other kids how to play dart, and it's preparing them for, like, big chances in life.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, people only say you get one chance at everything, but you don't.
Mm.
So, like, yeah, it's just...
Mm. And how long have you been playing darts now?
Since about 4 or 5, since I'd be able to...
To hold a dart, basically.
Hold the shaft, at least.
And do you beat your dad often, then?
Sometimes, like, when he's really tired, like, I have a good chance, but I haven't been playing recently, because I broke my elbow.
Oi.
So I've been out for a bit.
Mm. And so what would you say to kids your age now who are thinking, oh, like, you know, oh, should I play darts or should I not?
I think they should play darts because, like, you never know, like, you could not like soccer then, and you could just like something else, and maybe darts could be that thing that you like.
Mm, fantastic. Are you looking forward to so starting in April?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
And we have John's other son here as well. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Kenneth.
Kenneth, how long have you been playing darts?
I don't know, about a year or so.
A year. And how do you find him?
I like him.
Yeah. And I suppose your dad is a good coach, is he?
Yeah.
And are you looking forward to this event now in April starting?
Yes, I am.
All right, buddy. And have you beaten your dad yet?
No.
Are you going to beat your dad?
I don't know.
Yeah, you will. All right, lads, thanks a million. Yeah, it's great to have John O'Shea in there with his kids. Looking to follow in their father's footsteps anyway, it was.
Yeah, look, they seem like good crack, good fun. Yeah. Obviously, Jake and Kenneth both seem like different characters. Jake is pretty confident, and Kenneth probably a little less assured in terms of the darts play, but I was only thinking there, what would my son say about me if he came on interviewing me? Probably absolutely. Any time we play soccer together, if I score a goal past him, he goes off in a hissy fit. So I just have to let him win at the moment. So he thinks he's Ronaldo at the moment. So interesting now when I clip his ears in a few years.
All right, we're going to talk motorsport now. Cork's Luca Allen signing for a Japanese team for 2020. He'll drive for Albrecht in the Super Formula Light Series this year. Luca calling to me to discuss how the move came about. 2-2-2-1-2-1-2-1-2. All right, we are delighted to be joined in studio by our good friend Luca Allen. Luca, thanks a million for coming in, first off.
Thank you.
Secondly, very, very exciting news for your career.
Yeah, this year is definitely, I'd say, the biggest career, the biggest year of my career to date. Massive opportunity. So thankful for everyone that's made this opportunity possible. I suppose there's a special shout out to David Kennedy, who's kind of been my mentor for the last few years, ex-Irish Formula One driver, mm-hmm. who got me this opportunity in Japan, and then of course to all the amazing people that have supported me in my career to date. And this year is almost in a way make or break, but it's almost kind of getting to the final hurdle now, yeah. And it's
All right, just rewind a little bit. You were last in with us just before Christmas. You were just crowned the F4 champion. What happened in the meantime for you becoming champion and then getting this offer from the Super Formula Lights?
One thing I suppose I learned is there's not really much of an off season, because as soon as you finish something, I got a few days to celebrate or whatever and to eat whatever I wanted, but it was just straight back into hard work. I mean, if I was to rest for a few weeks or a month, then I wouldn't have a drive this year. So it was, luckily I have an amazingly supportive dad who helped me a lot, and my agents who managed to kind of get the show on the road and started looking for sponsorship. And yeah, luckily I've secured a drive for this year.
And when did the news come through?
I think it was actually, there was a few things on the card. So there was, I was talking to a few teams in America, and then in a different F3 Asia Championship, and then this championship that I'm racing in Japan this year was actually my goal for 2022. Mm-hmm. So when the opportunity came up, I think I was actually in a meeting at the time, and I got an email all of a sudden with this drive, and at first I was kind of like, well, hold on a second, I don't want to rush into anything, but I think the opportunity was because first of all, the team, very thankfully, Albrecht Racing gave me a very good price, a very good offer to drive for them this year. So, it kind of just came up, happened really fast. And then here I am now, about to head out to Japan next week.
So you're 2 years ahead of your own schedule. That must be, like, mind-blowing.
Yeah. I think this year will probably be a tough year. I'll be racing against guys who are really, these guys will be at the top of the game, mm-hmm. from as far as F3 goes. Like, I'll be racing against guys who have won races in F3 Europe and every competitive championship, mm-hmm. in the world. So I'm not expecting to come into the championship and win straight away. Mm-hmm. I've never driven the car, I've never driven any of the tracks in Japan, so I really, for the first three rounds, I want to just learn as much as I possibly can from my teammate, from other drivers on the track, and from the team. I'm ready to work exceptionally hard this year. I think that's what's going to really matter this year, just the hard work, and we'll keep chipping away at it.
But Albrecht, they headhunted you, basically. They kind of narrowed you down from a field of five, I think.
Yeah. They made it quite clear, I suppose, that they wanted me in their team. I think being champion last year helped a lot. And thankfully, they've been very understanding, because obviously racing's a tough sport to build up the budget or whatever. And, mm-hmm. and thankfully, thanks to some very, very good people, I've managed to secure the drive. But Albrecht were quite determined to get me in their car, and it's worked.
But that must, like, obviously kind of fill you with confidence in that you picked the right team. But I mean, like, for them to show that confidence in you must be kind of a massive boost for you, I guess, going over there.
Yeah, it's obviously a great thing to have the team have confidence in you. I suppose it adds a small bit of pressure, but I suppose you're never not going to feel pressure.
Do you feel that pressure, though, that you have to perform for this new team? They've taken this opportunity that brought you in, and now you feel you have to repay them almost immediately? Or
Yeah, there's a bit of pressure. I mean, there's always kind of the thought that if I don't drive the car fast, then will I even be driving next year kind of thing. So I'm definitely looking forward to it more than anything. I can't wait to just get back in the car. And these cars are amazing. Like, such a step up from F4. These cars are so much faster, so much more downforce. I'm so excited.
Tell us a little bit more about Super Formula Lights and, I suppose, the drivers that have come through it, I suppose, in the past.
Yeah, so some recognisable drivers that have went out to Japan for their career would be Eddie Irvine, obviously probably one of the biggest Irish Formula 1 drivers ever, David Kennedy, as I just mentioned, and then who's also Irish, ex-Formula 1 driver, and then you've the likes of Ralf Schumacher, Michael Schumacher, and so many people, because Japan is just racing crazy. I mean, they love racing in Japan. Super Formula is the professional series, so Super Formula Lights is the one just under that. It's kind of like a feeder series. So it's a massive opportunity, not just from a racing, but for the brand as well, for all the exposure that's going to come with it. Yeah, so it's a big year.
And you've mentioned David Kennedy a couple of times now. Can you talk to me about the influence he's had on your career?
Yeah, I think I met him for the first time in, I think it was his family came down to Ballymaloe, I think. And since then, very luckily, I think he's had a bit of a liking to me. And he's been amazing. I really can't thank him enough. He doesn't need to help me,
yeah.
But he does it out of his own goodwill, and I'm extremely grateful for him.
But to have someone like that there in your corner, to be able to pick his brains, I suppose, must be like, you know, a massive benefit for you.
Yeah, I mean, he has so much knowledge in the world of motorsport, and he has so much contacts. So yeah, he's definitely helped me.
So you're heading over to Japan next week for testing?
Yes.
Exciting.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I think I have 2 days testing in Suzuka, which is one of the best tracks in the world. So I'm going to be flat out on my little sim at home, just trying to get laps and laps and laps in. And I just need to go out there as the most possibly prepared as I can be.
When you say sim, is that basically you and your PlayStation 4 driving the track, is it?
Yeah, unfortunately I don't have the most luxurious sim just yet, but I just have a little one that I can...
I've heard of Formula 1 drivers do that. I mean, like, obviously it has a benefit to learn the layout of the track, braking points and stuff like that.
It's a very interesting new aspect of motorsport. Everyone's... the shift towards sim racing has been massive, especially over the last 2 years. There's guys up in Mondello, VRA, virtual reality...
Something.
Keith Dempsey up there. He's I met him in Italy. He's also. I'm going to try getting the same with him to do a bit of practice. But yeah, no, it's just taken off, and it's amazing new aspects, I think, to the world of motorsport.
And your sim at home, is it like, you know, proper like steering wheel and pedals, or is it just you with your controller?
It's I have a steering wheel and pedals, and then I just play a Project Cars or whatever. Yeah. It's just a little game on it.
It's kind of cool. So what's the most? I suppose you're heading out there next week. And then when does the season start?
So the season starts in the first weekend of April. So there's 7 rounds, and every round is going to be on the same weekend Super Formula. So of the fans at the race will be massive, the exposure will be massive. It's just a really good setup for not only myself, but for all the sponsors that want to get on board for the maximum possible exposure they can.
Yeah, because it'll be like, what, 50, 60,000 people at some of these races?
Yeah, I mean, these races will be packed, and I've kind of missed it from racing in England. It was packed as well, and... luckily, again, this year, going to be packed at grandstands, and yeah, as you said, up to 50,000 plus supporters at each race, so I'm really excited.
And you're with a management company now as well, which is helping you with all that sponsorship side of things. That must be a massive help, I suppose.
Yeah, the guys Sport Endorse up in Dublin, they've been a great help. They've just helped me with my social medias and trying to do templates for sponsors and everything. And yeah, I'm very thankful for them too.
And they've launched the Luca Allen Supporters Club, which is very exciting.
Yeah, there's plenty of different kind of packages, obviously, to help me on in this year, or to kind of partner with me. There's the 10K supporter pack, which will just give you maximum exposure I can, a day in Mondello with me and all your brand on my social media, on the suit, on the car, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting indeed. And for anyone who wants any more information, how do they go about it, Luca?
You can find me on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Just search up my name, Luke Allen 1 on Instagram. and also emails. You can find my emails and all the contact details there.
And every time you're in here, I ask you about Formula One, and this seems like a big, big step towards that.
Yeah, it's definitely getting closer. I don't want to
jinx it.
Bring it up too. Like, yeah, I mean, Formula One is obviously a massive thing, and for my, I want, yeah, I'd love for another Irish driver to be in Formula One. Obviously, for it to be me.
And we'd love to see the Cork flag on the podium as well.
Yeah, you'll definitely see that. yeah, no, I mean, that Formula One is just what dreams are made of, I think. And hope my dream has been to make it to Formula One since I've been, like, whatever age I can remember, and I'm definitely not going to give up on that dream.
Well, I look forward to doing our show from Monaco in your first race there.
Yeah, I'll bring you out to Monaco. We can do a little podcast on the yacht.
Luca, buddy, it's been a pleasure. Come here. Congratulations on the drive. Very best luck indeed, and we can't wait to see how you get on.
Thanks very much, Rory.
Fancy that, Tomas?
Oh, I'd love to be an F1 driver. But I'd love to go to Monaco just to watch a race too with you.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I'd say, look, growing up, if I couldn't have been a rugby player, I would love to be a Formula One driver. But, like, I only ever grew up driving Ford Fiestas or something like that. So never had the opportunity. So it's all my parents' fault.
All right, great to have Luca in studio with us. Congratulations to him on securing that drive in Super Formula Lights in Japan. And we'll be watching his career with great interest. We are out of time. Thank you very much indeed for tuning away. Our podcast will be online very shortly. RedExtra.ie. And be sure and follow us on Twitter at Big Red Bench as well. We're back next Saturday from 6. Alan Donovan's up next with Green on Red. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, folks, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
Miss the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.